right, well, time for church. Good to see everybody back. Good to see everybody's exhilarated and got their nap in and ready for a three-hour sermon. Everybody's ready. He didn't tell you, there's four preachers coming in right now. We're turning in the camp meeting right here. So, no. Good to see everyone back in church. Thankful for church. Had a great time this morning. God blessed. I know God worked in my heart, and I'm looking forward to seeing what he's going to do here tonight. I pray for all of us that he does move in our heart and challenge us and draw us closer to him. But I'm just thankful for church. I love it. If we could have another service, I'd be here for sure. So, but before we get started, I'm going to ask my dad if you'd lift your voice and ask for God's blessing on the service.
Father God, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be back in church again this evening. Lord, I pray that each one of us would be moved. I ask you to allow your Holy Spirit free movement in the church tonight, that Lord would again prick our hearts, Father God. Lord, we need you. We need your help. Lord God, we need you to strengthen us, prepare us for the upcoming week. And Lord, I just ask that this message of the Lord speak to our hearts. Father God, all of us here, we're sinners and we're undone. And we need you, dear Lord. And I pray that you just would help us to conform more to your image, Father God. So Lord, we just want to praise you. We want to thank you. I pray that the song singing would be a blessing to you. And that, Lord, you pass the free reign hiding behind your cross and allow your Holy Spirit to have free access to our hearts. So we're going to give you praise. And thank you in advance for your Christ's name we ask. Amen.
Amen. Just real quick before we sing our first song, I got a quick announcement for tonight. Coming up here, I believe Tuesday, Pastor's going to be celebrating his 93rd birthday. So we are going to, I know, he doesn't look a day over 100, but he's having his birthday. So we're going to have a little celebration after the service downstairs. Anyone that's can stay afterwards. We're going to have, I believe, what is it, cake and ice cream? I know ice cream. I heard ice cream. That's what got me. So, but if you can, come down, celebrate Pastor's birthday, wish him a happy 93rd, and just have a good time fellowshipping. So, but if you would, stand with me and turn to page 344. Page 344, Satisfied. All my life long I had panted for a draught from some cool spring that I hoped would quench the burning of the thirst I felt within. Hallelujah, I have found him whom my soul so long has craved. Jesus satisfies my
satisfies my longings through his blood I now
good singing tonight. Let's keep that going. Turn over with me to page 821. 821. Hymn I love to sing about the grace of God. Grace greater than our sin.
Marvelous grace of our love.
Brother Ralph's come up. He has a special for us tonight.
Keep on the firing. Keep on the firing line. Life is but to labor for the master here. Help to banish evil and to spread good cheer. You'll be rewarded for your service here. So keep on the firing line. Oh, you must fight, be brave against all evil. Never run nor even lag behind. If you but win for God and the right, just keep on the firing line. When we get to heaven, brother, we'll be glad. Keep on the firing line.
Amen.
How we'll praise the Savior for the call we had. Keep on the firing line. When we see the souls that we have helped to win, leading them to Jesus from the path of sin, with a shout of welcome we will all march in. So keep on the firing line. Oh, you must fight, be brave against all evil. Never run nor even lag behind. If you but win for God and the right, just keep on the firing line. If you would win for
stand with me, and we're going to turn to page 796, and then we're going to have another special after that. We're going to sing this one a cappella. Forgot. Ellie's going to play the first. No, never mind. She bailed on me. I'm just teasing her. She's awesome. All right. 796. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day. Day I will never forget. After I've wandered in darkness away.
Jesus, my Savior, I met. Oh, what a tender, compassionate friend. He met the need of my heart.
Heaven came down and glory filled my soul.
This time we have another special.
This evening, if we fall, we make it right with God, get back up and keep going. All right, that's where the devil wants to get us. When we fall down, the devil says, just quit. You can't keep going on because you keep failing. The devil says, just stop. Just don't keep going on. Just quit. It's not worth it. You can't do it anyways. You tell the devil he's a liar and you get back up by the strength of God and you keep going forward. You stay faithful. Stay faithful. Again, Paul said, moreover, is required of students that man be found faithful. Stay faithful. Thank you, Rachel, for that. It was a wonderful song. Ralph, thank you for your song as well. Keep on the fire line. I like those two songs, and I thank God for them. And it kind of goes along what we're looking at this evening. If you take your Bible, you will, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. Looking at verse number 23. 1 Thessalonians chapter 25, verse number 23. We're kind of looking at the first part of this verse, the last 2 weeks or so. And we're going to look at the second part of the verse tonight, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 23. The Bible says here, verse 23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Holy Father, I thank you for this day, dear God, Lord. Thank you for your mercy and your grace, Lord. I thank you for these songs that we could sing out to you this evening, Lord. Lord, I ask that you just meet with us and you'd give us what we need. I pray you'd open our eyes. Pray you'd open our ears and our hearts, Lord, that you'd have us, what you'd have us to receive, Lord, that we wouldn't just hear it, Lord, but we'd attempt and try, Lord, to put it into application, Lord, to apply it to our lives. So, Lord, I ask for your help now with this scripture this evening, Lord. Lead, guide, and direct, and give us what we need. And we ask this now in the name of your precious Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. So the Bible says here in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And he goes on to say, and I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Just as God is a Trinity, man is a Trinity. Man is made up of body, soul, and spirit. Just with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, man has three parts as well, even though he's one. Body, soul, and spirit. So tonight we're going to start off by going backwards to this verse. And the first thing that I'd like to look at is the body. So Paul says here to the church as he's finishing up that our whole spirit, soul, and body be what? Preserved blameless. To what day? To the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Preserved means this. It means to keep or save from injury or destruction. It can also mean to guard or defend from evil, harm, danger, to protect, to maintain throughout. So we can look at this verse here, and I pray, God, your whole body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Without blame, without injury or destruction, our bodies guarded from evil, our bodies guarded from harm or danger, and that our bodies be maintained throughout to the day that Jesus Christ comes back blameless before him. That our bodies would be preserved blameless for the day that the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. That when he comes back, he won't have to censure us for something that we have done in this flesh since we've been saved. You see, you can still sin in your flesh even though you're saved. Your spirit's born again of God. Your spirit cannot sin. Your spirit's safe. But you're still left in this body, and this body can still sin. This body can still do wrong against the Lord. Now, if we sin in this body, it doesn't mean that we have to get resaved again. Just because I might sin in my body doesn't mean that I lose my salvation, and now I got to get saved again because I sinned in my body. And then I lose it again, and then I get saved again. If you're honest, deceived, and listen, if you can lose your salvation and you lose it every day, actually, you probably lose it every hour, if not quicker. If you're honest with yourself and the dictate that God's put forth in his word, we lose it probably every moment with just the thoughts that we think. Because God knows our thoughts are far off. God, and even, brethren, we don't even have to get what we do in his body. We're done right here. You think an evil thought towards your brother or sister, you're done. You lost your salvation. You might as well try to get it back again. But you can't. So what I'm saying this evening is you can do things in this body that's not pleasing to God, and someday you'll have to give an account for it before the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where your wood, hay, and stubble come in at the judgment seat of Christ. The things done in the body, are we doing it to please our flesh in a sense that's wrong And we have to make it right, or are we doing the things in our body that are pleasing to God and bringing our body into subjection, our flesh into subjection? Blameless, preserved blameless, without fault, innocent, guiltless, not meriting censure. So I want to get home to heaven someday with the least amount of censure for the things that I've done in my flesh since I've been saved. And unfortunately, there's things that I've done since I've been saved that I regret. I've made it right with God. I'm going on in the battle, but I could kick myself for the things that I've done in my body since I've been saved. Things that I've done in my body that I willingly knew were wrong, yet I still did so anyways. I'm thankful for God's mercy, but I'm not going to mistake God's mercy to continue on in sin, God forbid. All right? So, being preserved blameless in a spirit, soul, and tonight, body. Okay? So, our bodies, our physical or fleshy bodies, are what comes in contact with this physical, fallen, material world that we dwell in. So it's our bodies, our flesh, that comes in contact with the world around us. And we have our five senses, our taste, our touch, our sight, our hearing, our feeling. These are the things that come in contact with this fallen and material world that we dwell in. And these are the things that can bring defilement to our flesh. Sight, smell, hear, taste, and touch. But the first one I want to look at tonight is our sight. If there's anything that gets us in trouble with this flesh, I believe it begins usually with our eyes. With our eyes. Take your Bible, look at Lamentation, the book of Lamentations, chapter 3, and verse number 51. Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 51. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 51. Jeremiah speaking here, he says, "Mine eye affecteth mine heart because of all the daughters of my city." So the Bible says here in Lamentations, verse 51 of chapter 3, that your eye can affect your heart. So what you see, mine eye affecteth mine heart. In Job chapter 2, verse 12, Job's friends are coming up, and the Bible says there, "And when they lifted up their eyes afar off and knew him not, they lifted up their voices and wept, and they rent everyone his mantle and sprinkled dust upon their heads towards heaven." Job, his friends, as they were coming up to visit him because of all the calamities that had come upon him, they said they lifted their eyes up from afar and they saw Job, or what appeared to be Job, and they couldn't believe his state that he was in. And what they saw affected their actions to where they wept and lifted up their voices. And Jeremiah says again here in Lamentations, "My eye affects my heart." You see, brethren, tonight, with this Bible study this evening, we have to be very careful what we let come across the path of our eyes. And that's why today, the most dangerous thing I think in our society today is not guns. I don't think the most dangerous thing in our society today is drugs. I think one of the most dangerous things in our society today is our cell phone. I think that little device, I think, is one of the most dangerous things in all of the world, much less our society here in the United States of America. How many people today are affected? Their eye, their heart is affected by what their eye sees. That thing is programmed and set up to affect your heart without you even realizing it's affecting your heart. How many hours are wasted on a phone? Hours. Hours. I try not to use my phone much, and every Sunday I get an update on how much time I've spent on it through the week. Sometimes it's an hour, 2 hours a day, and I'm trying not to spend time on it. I can't imagine how much today our teenagers or those that are out there today, how much time it's spent scrolling through a phone, and you cannot tell me it doesn't affect the heart. It affects the heart. It programs the mind and the heart to do things that the mind and heart would have never done unless they saw it on there. It's programmed to release dopamines in your brain. It's like a drug. It's proven. There's case study on it that that phone is set up for clickbait and everything else to stir you and keep you interested and locked in on that thing. Now, take your Bible and look at Job 31 verse 1. Job 31 verse 1. Look what the Bible says here. Job 31 verse 1. You see how serious of a matter this is. Look at Job, what Job says in chapter 30, 31, verse 1. Job 31, verse 1. Job says here, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? This thing's so serious that even Job, a man that has had 10 children, got a wife, got a business, lost it all, but he makes this comment here and he says, I made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? Look down at verse number 7. If my steps hath turned me out of the way and mine heart walked after what? Mine eyes. And if any man, if any blot hath cleaved to mine hands. So in verses 1 and verse 7, Job says and puts forward that he's made a covenant with his eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? And in verse 7, he says, and mine heart walked after mine eyes. That's why it's so important today, especially for young men and even ladies, but more so with young men and men as a whole, we need to be very, very careful what we allow to come through our eye gates. Because men are more visual than women. The devil knows that. Men are more visual than women. That's why, listen, brethren, you could say, you can't call me an old preacher because I'm not an old preacher. But old preachers, I'm not 93.
Tuesday.
You can't consider me an old preacher. I'm not an old preacher. Right? But there's old preachers who talked about the things I'm talking about. That's why ladies have to be so careful the way they dress. Because mine eye affecteth my heart. Well, you shouldn't be looking. Well, maybe you shouldn't be showing off everything you got because a man's, forgive me tonight, a man's programmed. Sometimes you got to walk through Walmart like this. You wanted me to get the spaghetti sauce. What? Which one down? It's the truth, brethren. Today, nothing's left to the mind or desire or imagination. It's all out there. Whether you're, it's there. Mine, what? But you say, preacher, you're just a legalistic man. You're just old school. No, I'm not legalistic. Why would Job? Job is from what they consider the oldest book in the Bible. Job is considered the oldest book in the Bible. So we're going way back. We're going back before Macy's. We're going back before JCPenney. We're going back for whatever the styles is. We're going way back. And Job, from almost the beginning, says, I've made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? Because Job knew his eyes could be affected by the way a woman dressed. And he says, I'm going to make a covenant with my eyes that I don't fall into that trap of lusting after a woman in my heart. Brethren, take your Bible, look at Proverbs chapter 4, verse 25. Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 25. And I pray God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Proverbs chapter number 4, and look at verse number 25. Proverbs 4, and verse number 25. You know how many men struggle with this today? How many men in our society today are caught up with pornography and filth and nastiness, even within churches, and it fills even some of our pulpits today because their hearts being affected by their eyes. They're looking at stuff, they're spending time with stuff that they shouldn't be spending time with, and it all starts with what their eyes are looking at. And they say, it will never happen to me, but then it ends up happening to them. I told you a couple weeks ago, there's somebody I know, I can't believe what they're caught up in now. I would have never guessed what they're caught up in now. Nastiness, filthiness, beyond just pornography, nastiness. Because they spent their time with things putting in their eye gate, and now it's affected their heart, and they're off to doing things I never thought I would think that individual would do. Your eyes affect your heart. Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 25. Look what the Bible says here. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Matthew 5:28, Jesus Christ said, But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Jesus Christ even knew the dangers that come with our eyes and what we see. Jesus said, be careful with your eyes that you don't lust after a woman in your heart and thus commit adultery with her in your heart. How many individuals today across our land have committed adultery in their heart? Because of what they see. And the thoughts get planted in their mind, and then their imagination starts going, and then they get off into sin. These are serious, serious matters, brethren. And Jesus, or Paul tells the church there at Thessalonica, he says, I pray God that your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Be preserved blameless. How many a Christian man's going to go home to heaven someday and going to have to deal with what they watched with their eyes? You say, preacher, what do I do? You make it right with God, get it underneath the blood, and go forward and stop looking at the things we're looking at. You see tonight, brethren, the first gate into the soul and spirit of man, I believe, is right here, the eyes. And it's so important to guard, protect, and fortify and defend this part of the body right here. To set a continual sentinel, a continual guard right here in front of our eye gates, that we ask God to help us be careful what we allow to come in through this gate right here, lest we be led astray and sin against our God. Our God's a holy God. You see, tonight, take your Bible, look at 2 Samuel chapter 11. 2 Samuel chapter number 11. That your body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord willing, next week and 2 weeks after that, we'll come to the soul and spirit. But tonight, looking at the body. 2 Samuel chapter number 11. And look at verse number 1. 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse number 1. I do not like reading this portion of Scripture. I don't like reading this portion of Scripture. But we're going to read it tonight. 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 1. And it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah and David. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. You see, it was a time when kings go forth to battle, the Bible says. It was a time when kings go forth to battle, and David decided to take the time off. David said, I've fought enough battles, I've been in enough fights, I've been in enough wars, I've had enough victories with my God, and I've earned the right to take a vacation from going out and fighting the battles that kings are required to fight. Let me tell you tonight, brethren, there are no off days in spiritual warfare. There are no off days. There are no vacation days. There are no days that we build up on an account with God till we can put in a time card and say, God, next week I'm taking off Monday through Friday with this spiritual battle and this spiritual warfare. There are no off days. But a lot of Christians think that there are off days. They think there's times to where I can just relax, sit down, let things go, and that's when you're going to find yourself getting into trouble. David decides to take an off day when he should be out there fighting, even though he may not feel like it. He still ought to be out there fighting. Take your Bible, look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 1. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 1. Time when kings go forth to battle. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou, therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. You're a soldier tonight. If you're saved, you're in the Lord's army, and God's got a battle for you to fight. God's got a purpose for your life. Stay in that battle. Don't get sidetracked, and don't try to take a day off. 2 Samuel chapter 11 again. 2 Samuel chapter 11. David decides to take a day off, but little does David know that some deep spiritual and physical poverty is about to come upon him. David, thinking to take some time off, does not realize what kind of mess he's getting ready to get into. Look at verse number 2. And it came to pass in the evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. I have made a covenant with mine eyes, why then should I think upon a maid? David should have immediately turned himself around and went back into his house. The question I got here is, where are his wives? Where's David's wives? He's got wives at this point. Where are they at? He gets up and evening time, he decides to take a walk on the top of his roof. He looks off to the side there. The Bible says he sees a woman washing herself, and she was very beautiful to look upon. He should have turned himself around and went away real quick. He should have been like Joseph and flee. You know, when that woman came up and grabbed his coat, he should have left that coat there and ran and fled. But David stands there and he lets his eyes begin to affect his heart. You see, David already had a beautiful wife. The Bible says that Abigail was beautiful. The Bible says that Abigail was a beautiful woman, the wife of Nabal. But he's off here on the rooftop, being in a place he ought not to be at the evening tide. You see, brethren, be careful when you're sleepy. Be careful when you're sleepy and it's in the evening time and you're winding down for the day. Do not give place to the devil nor to your flesh. Verse 3. David sent and inquired after the woman. First one didn't heed it. He didn't heed his conscience. So God gives another warning in verse number 3. And David sent and inquired after the woman. And one said, is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? David gets a second warning. David gets a second warning from his servant. His servant says, David, whoa, go get her. And the servant's like, David, that's another man's wife. Isn't that Bathsheba, Uriah? That's another man's wife, David. Go get her. Go get her. David doesn't heed the warnings. Verse number 4, David sent messengers and took her, and she came into him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from uncleanness, and she returned in her house, and the woman conceived and sent and told David and said, I am with child. We need to be careful in our lives when our conscience begins to convict us. Our conscience says this isn't right. Our conscience says we ought not to be doing this, and we disregard our conscience. And then we might get warning from other men or women saying, hey, what you're getting ready to do, you ought not to do it. You ought not. You better heed the warnings. This is not good what you're getting ready to do. And we push that off to the side. And then the Holy Spirit deals with it. You better not. We better be careful when we push aside those warnings that come from God. Because we don't. Look, David's not thinking here that I'm going to commit adultery. I'm going to get another man's wife pregnant. Then I'm going to kill her husband. And then by the end of my life, four of my sons are going to be dead because of my actions. David's not thinking about this right now. David's all he's thinking about is what his flesh wants. And he should be fighting, he should be out there on the battlefields fighting the battles for the Lord God and his nation, yet he's staying at home on the rooftop looking at things he ought not to be looking at. And how many we got today in the secrets and confines of our homes looking at things we ought not to be looking at? Nobody sees it, nobody knows it, but just us and God. That your body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Heed the warnings. You see, in verses 4 through 13, David tries to cover this thing up. Verse number 7, he calls for Uriah. When Uriah, in chapter 11, verse 7, when Uriah was coming to him, David demanded of him how Joab did and how the people did and how the war prospered. David's putting on a front. David's acting like he's all concerned about how the war's going. He's not concerned about how the war's going. He's concerned about how he can cover up his sin. David's not concerned. At this point, I don't believe David's concerned about his men who are out there fighting that battle. See, when we sin against God, all of a sudden, all we're worried about is us and how we can cover ourselves from trying to make others not realize the sin that we're involved in. But the sad thing is, when we sin against God and we sin against others, no matter how hard we try to cover it up, we can't cover it up. Well, you're just naive. No, I'm not naive. I see exactly what's going on. You might think I'm naive, but I'm not naive. I see exactly what's happening. Look, you don't think word traveled through the kingdom pretty quick? Brethren, you know how things travel, how quick things travel through a church? Just say something in a church and see how fast it gets back to the pastor. I'm amazed how things travel through a church. It's blown my mind away as a pastor. And people think, oh, I'm getting away. What? Brethren, you remember that servant that came to David and said, isn't this Uriah's wife? Wouldn't you think that his servants, after they brought, they're like, can you believe that he took Bathsheba? That's Uriah's wife. And then they went home to their wife. Yeah, you ain't going to believe this, but today we were with the king and he asked for me to go get Uriah. And you don't think she called him? Hey, let me just tell you about what happened. It's worse with women. Don't give me no looks like that. Oh, yeah. Most men, you can't get four words out of them. You put a woman on the phone, you get 5,000 words in 10 seconds. That's the truth. Brethren, I was watching something the other day, and it's true. Women, I forget how many words a woman tries to get out in a day. 10,000? 10,000 words. This is not just Bible. This is scientific stuff. 10,000 words. Women like to talk. And women like men to listen to them while they talk. And act, I'm just talking, that's what I was looking at some counseling classes. And they talk about active listening. Most men don't actively listen. They're like, yeah, honey, And you're not listening to me. Yeah, I'm listening. What did I say? Blah, 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 blah. And you repeat everything that they said. And they still say, but you still weren't listening to me. It's because it's called active listening. But it's a fact. Women like to talk. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not putting women down by saying that. But most women like to talk and most men are not talkers. Now, you do have some men that like to talk. I got to mess with him because he messed with me. All right. No, I'm joking, Brian. No, but for being serious, getting back to this, you don't think that spread through the kingdom? You don't think word got around pretty quick that David took Bathsheba? And when you don't think things, rumors spread when Bathsheba came back down out of that palace back to her house? You don't think things spread in the kingdom? You don't think things, people know in that kingdom what David and Bathsheba did? And can you imagine if she starts showing? And they know that Uriah and the rest of the men are out there fighting the battles. You don't think they start putting two to two together? And the rumor starts spreading through a nation that's supposed to be a godly nation, and your leader who's supposed to be setting the example just committed adultery. I love David. David is one of my favorite individuals in the Bible. I can't wait to meet David someday. And like I said earlier, I don't like reading this about David. I don't like reading this part about David. But God's got it in his word for a purpose. David is not concerned in verse 7 about how people are doing out there in the field. He's trying to figure out, how can I get Uriah back to his house to spend some time with his wife, that hopefully he spends time with his wife, that when she starts showing, they're going to think it's his child and not my child. And I'm saying it as discreetly as I can. Verse number 8, and David said to Uriah, go down to the house and wash thy feet. And Uriah departed out of the king's house, and there followed him a mess of meat from the king. And Uriah slept at the door of the king's house and all his servants of his lord, and went not down to his house. And when they had told David, saying, Uriah went not down into his house, David said unto Uriah, camest thou not from thy journey? Why then didst thou not go down into thy house? And Uriah said unto David, the ark. Look what Uriah says. And Uriah said unto David, the ark and Israel and Judah abide in tents, and my lord Joab and the servants of my lord are encamped in the open fields. Shall I then go into mine house to eat and to drink and to lie with my wife? As thou livest and as thy soul livest, I will not do this thing. You don't think that just about put a dagger through David's heart? You don't think that was like a knife just right into David's heart? And Uriah has no clue what's going on. Uriah says, David, there's no way I can go home and enjoy my house and my family and my wife. And I can't, David, when all my brothers are out there fighting the battles and are sleeping in tents, I can't go home and do this, David. And Uriah slept there at the door. Look what happens in verse number 11 or 12. And David said to Uriah, tarry here today also, and tomorrow I will let thee depart. So Uriah abode in Jerusalem that day and the morrow. Verse 13, look how bad it gets now. This is a man after God's own heart. This is a man who wrote a lot of the Psalms. This is a man who the Lord used to write Psalm 23. Look what he says in verse 13. And when David had called him, he did eat and drink before him, and he made him drunk. And at evening he went out to lie on his bed with the servants of his Lord, but went not down to his house. David commits adultery, brings her husband back, tries to cover this thing up. His soldier shows more character than the man that loves God. And now this man that loves God is getting this guy drunk, hoping that in his drunken stupor, he'll go home and do something there at home to cover up David's sin. And this man's got more character as a drunk than David does as a sober man at this point. Uriah says, even though I'm not going back to my house. Brethren, when we sin, make it right as quick as possible. Don't try to cover it up. Run to God and get it underneath the blood of Jesus Christ. Take your Bible and look at 1 John chapter 8. 1 John chapter 8, yeah, find that one. 1 John chapter 1, verse number 8. 1 John chapter 1, and look what verse number 8 says. Think about this verse in the light of David and what's going on here in that story back in 2 Samuel. Look at 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 8. 1 John 1, 8. We'll look at verse 7 first. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. You see, when you continue in your sin and don't make it right before God, you will then fall into self-deception. And the further you fall into self-deception, the further you fall into doing things you thought you would never find yourself doing. That's why it's so important to make things right as quick as possible and as soon as possible, rather than going on and lying to ourselves that everything's going to be all right, when in reality we're sinning against God. And we lead ourselves, as 1 John chapter 1 verse 8 says, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Confess our sins quickly and make them right before God. You see, King David is falling headlong into self-deception and further from the truth contained in God's word. Verses 14 through 21 in 2 Samuel. When sin is not confessed and forsaken, it leads to death and destruction. Take your Bible, look back at 2 Samuel chapter 12, and look at verse number 15. 2 Samuel 12, verse 15. And he wrote in a letter, saying, set Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle, and retire ye from him, that he may be smitten and die. This is a letter that David has written to Joab, his commander-in-chief out there on the battlefield. And he writes in this letter, he says, listen, you put Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle. Listen, the worst part of the worst battle you got, I want you to take Uriah, and I want you to stick him right there in the front of that battle. And he says, not only is it bad enough to put this man in the hottest forefront of the battle, then he says this. He says, and retire ye from him, that he may be smitten and die. Turn your back on your brother. Take him into this fight, and when this fight gets so bad, I want you to retreat from him so that everybody starts shooting at him and the chances are greater that he dies. This is a man who wrote Psalm 23, that the Lord used to write Psalm 23. This was a man who loved God. This is the same man that took out Goliath. This is a great man. This is a man that was in his heart to build a temple for God. Yet he let his flesh, he let his eyes affect his heart. And now he's not only just committed adultery and got another man's wife pregnant, he's going to kill this man. Verse number 18, then Joab sent and told David all things concerning the war, and charged a messenger, saying, when thou hast made an end of telling the matters of the war unto the king, and if so be that the king's wrath arise, and he say unto thee, wherefore approached ye so nigh unto the city when ye did fight? Knew ye not that they would shoot from the wall? Who smote Abimelech, the son of Jerubbaal? Did not a woman cast a piece of a millstone upon him from the wall, that he died in Thebes? Why went ye nigh the wall? Then say thou, thy servant Uriah the Hittite is dead also. David, that's a sad day in Israel right there. Uriah was a valiant, good man. Uriah loved God just like David loved God. Uriah loved his country, even though he wasn't an Israelite. He was a proselyte. He wasn't even one born into the nation of Israel. He was a Hittite. Yet he came to the true God. And the one that ought to be setting the example for this Hittite ought to have been his leader, David the king. Yet he finds himself now dead because his king has turned his back on him, because his king let his eyes affect his heart. The eyes of David caused an innocent man to be put to death. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13, Hebrews 3:13 says this, but exhort one another daily. Take your Bible, look at it. So we're almost done here. Look at it real quick. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. Look what the Bible says here. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse number 13. Hebrews 3:13. Actually, I'm going to start in verse 12. Take heed, brethren. Hebrews 3:12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Verse 13, but exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. The writer of Hebrews tells the brethren, exhort one another daily while it's called today. Why? Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. David's heart was hardened through the deceitfulness of sin, which caused him to put to death a valiant and innocent man. Romans chapter 7 verse 11 says, for sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Ephesians chapter 4 verses 22 through 24 says, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye may put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. I'm almost done tonight, but we have to be very, very careful that our old man doesn't deceive us. We have to be very careful that our old man doesn't rise up in us and say, feed me, feed my flesh, give me what I want in my flesh, and thus be deceived by the deceitfulness of sin, by the deceivableness of sin. My eyes affect my heart. My eyes affect my heart. Flip over a few pages to 1 Peter chapter 2 and look at verse 11. First Peter chapter 2 verse 11. Dearly beloved, Peter saying, dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust which war against the soul. My eye affects my heart. Peter gives warning here, and he says, I beseech you, strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. And as we close up tonight, back in 2 Samuel chapter 12, God sends a prophet to David. In 2 Samuel 12 verse 1, the Bible says, and the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. And the rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up. And it grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom, and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd, to dress for the wayfaring man was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. Look at verse 5. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. He shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity. Nathan comes to David. He tells him a little story about a man that had a visitor. And rather than taking one of the sheep from his flock to feed this wayfaring man that's visiting him, he went to this poor man that had one little ewe lamb. And he took that ewe lamb out of that poor man's house. His kids loved it. That poor man loved it. And he snatched it out of there and he brought it into his own house and he killed it and fed it to this wayfaring man. And David, being the shepherd he was, this story him up, and he had great anger. He had so much anger. He says, that man will die and he'll restore fourfold. And wouldn't you know it, David's talking to himself. I believe when Nathan says, thou art to man, David died in the side. Can you imagine being David? Look what the Bible says in verse 7. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. You're the one, David. David, you're the one that went into that poor man's house. David, you're the one that went into Uriah, who would come from a foreign nation, a nation that served pagan gods, David. That Uriah, he had nothing, but he had his wife, and yes, she was beautiful, but that was his little ewe lamb, and you stole it out of that man's house, and you took it into your house, and then you killed him, David. Thou art the man, David. You're the one that did this wickedness, David. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel. Can you imagine me and David standing here listening to this now? Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul, and I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And God says to David in this moment, if it had been too little, I would have moreover had given unto thee such and such things. You, brethren, we have to realize tonight that when we sin against God, we break God's heart when we sin against Him. It breaks God's heart, I believe, to see His children to go out and sin and do things they ought not to be doing. And God in His mercy and His love, He's a God of mercy and love, but He's also a God of judgment, and He's bringing it home to David. Brethren, as your pastor tonight, I want us to go home as much as we can blameless before our Savior Jesus Christ. That's my heart's desire tonight. It's my heart's desire for my life. Lord, help me, Lord God, to not sin against You, dear Lord. Help me to allow my body be preserved blameless to Your coming, Lord Jesus Christ. Because if we cover up sin, brethren, we cannot cover up sin. It's eventually going to come out and it will be dealt with someday. Today's the day to make it right with God if we sinned against God. Verse number 9, God says to David, wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in His sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword, look what God tells David. There's consequences for sin, brethren. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me. Brethren, this is the man that was after God's own heart. Because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes, and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this son. Look what verse 12 says. For thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. God says to David, David, you thought you had it hidden. David, you thought you had it covered up. David, because you thought you did it secretly, what I'm going to bring upon your house, I'm going to do for everybody to see. God bless David. Verse number 13. David said to Nathan, I've sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because of this deed, thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. The child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. You see, when we sin against God, and we go despite God's commandments, we blaspheme His name. That's why it's so important to live holy and godly lives before this fallen world, so that we don't give an excuse to this world to look at us and say, you're a hypocrite, and blaspheme the name of our holy God. God takes sin seriously. But God bless David. When David's confronted with his sin against God, David says, I have sinned against the Lord. You know, as I close up here tonight, what David committed and what David did, there was no sacrifice. If a man committed adultery in the Old Testament, they died. If a man committed murder in the Old Testament, there was no sacrifice. They died. Yet God here in His mercy towards David says, I've put away your sin. But there's consequences to it. Numbers 32:23 says this, but if you will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. Brethren, Moses said to the children of Israel, be sure, God told the children, be sure your sin will find you out. David loses four boys. The first child he loses is a child with Bathsheba. It dies after it's born. The second child he loses is Amnon, after he has relations with David's other child over Tamar. Amnon gets killed by one of the other David's sons. Absalom kills Amnon because of what he did to his sister Tamar. This is all underneath David's roof. You want to talk about turmoil in your household. When you get word that one of your sons had relations with one of your daughters, and then your other son over here, who is the sister to that woman, comes in and throws a party and then kills your other son, Amnon. The third man to die that was David's son was Absalom. Has three darts put into his heart by Joab, and word gets back to David. And the last son that dies tried to take the throne, Adonijah, who Solomon puts to death right after David dies. You know, as I close up here, you know, when we sin against God and somebody confronts us of our sin, how ironic, man, how many people point the finger back at you? And you know what David pronounced upon this man that stole that lamb? He said he should die. That's not what the Old Testament says. Exodus, I believe it's Exodus chapter 23, 21, somewhere in there. If a man in the Old Testament stole another man's livestock, he was to restore it fourfold. He wasn't to be put to death for it. Yet David says, because a man stole a sheep, he should be put to death. Well, what should happen to David that stole another man's wife and killed the husband? Brethren, last verse, 1 Corinthians 4:5 says this, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. Those things done in secret, God will bring them out. So we need to be careful tonight that we don't sin against God with our flesh and our bodies, but we ask God to help us that we keep our flesh in subjection, and that we live holy and godly lives before our Savior, before He comes for us someday. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity tonight. Lord, I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for your mercy and your grace. And God, I thank you for this story of David. Lord, someday David's going to come back and rule and reign there as a king in Jerusalem. And what a man David was, dear God. And Lord, I love David. I love the stories of David, dear God. And every time I read this story, it grieves my heart, dear Lord. But Lord, you have it there for a purpose, Lord, for us to learn, dear God, how quickly and easy we can fall into sin, the deceitfulness of sin. Lord, help us to war against fleshly lust. Lord, help us not to give in to them, Lord. Help us not to give in to our flesh. Help us not to give in to our eyes, dear God. Lord, help us to live godly lives, holy lives, Lord. Lord, that we give you the glory and honor, and Lord, that we don't blaspheme your name. So Lord, help us tonight. Thank you again for your word and your mercy and your grace. And I pray these things all now in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, brethren, we'll close with that tonight. Appreciate you. Love you. I guess there is something down there for my 93rd birthday. So if you'd like to celebrate with me, please feel free to stay by. And we'll head downstairs. Amen. Love you. Appreciate you. Amen.